We've been driving a bit of a debate on this show now for a number of weeks about accommodating future population growth. We haven't had apartment developments in this city for many, many years. We now see the rental vacancy rate at absolute crisis levels. It's hovering around 1%, and anything under 2% is considered almost at crisis levels. To talk about the problem, but also some potential solutions, I've got Keith Savage from Savage Architecture in the studio. It's great to have him on the show. Now, Keith, relatively new to Cairns, but he's got incredible experience right across Australia, particularly in some regional areas. So I think it's great to get some new perspectives to look at these issues and potential solutions with fresh eyes. Keith, welcome to the King Review.
Good to be here.
Now, as I said, relatively new firm in Cairns. You're completely across. I should mention you're also, of course, on the committee of the UDIA, the Urban Development Institute of Australia, which, again, looks at these type of issues. I guess, are you surprised that despite Cairns experiencing population growth over many, many years now, and, of course, that ebbs and flows a little, but are you surprised that we do have this rental vacancy crisis, that we haven't had these apartment developments for so long?
Probably not. It looks to me like the city really hasn't had any real major development on the residential marketplace in Cairns for about 25 years. Mm. The project home, you know, on the quarter acre lot sort of things in areas like the Pete's and Peter's and Red Lynch are going gangbusters, and everyone's falling into that, but that satisfies a certain section of the market, and that's great. But there is other markets. Unfortunately, one of the problems with the residential, particularly in the city, is how do you develop and how do you, if someone's going to develop, they obviously want to make some money out of the whole thing, and how they do that, and are really between even though the land value is actually quite cheap, the actual ability to develop a lot of the sites, particularly the smaller ones, is actually very, very difficult.
Yeah. And what are some of those impediments, if you like? What are some of those cost factors? As you said, the land is actually not too bad, the land price. What are some of the other constraints that a developer would face or makes them back out of progressing a project?
Well, you've got a lot of constraints on a site. Like, for instance, if your site's under 1,000 square metres, you're allowed to build up to 9 stories, but you're depending on where the site is, you start taking a 10-metre setback off the street frontage, which is what the planning code says. So then you've got to take 4 metres off the side boundaries. Mm. And depending on where your site is, if it's a good corner site, well then, theoretically, you've got nothing left to develop after that once you start taking those setbacks off. So there's issues such as car parking. If you've got an existing building on the site, well, it's almost impossible to put car parking on. But really, in terms of the development codes, strictly speaking, if you're putting a 1 to 2 bedroom unit, you've got to put 1.5 cars in per each of those units. Or if you're doing a 3 bedroom unit, you've got to have 2 cars. So the difficulty of having those sorts of things happening on the site is actually very, very hard. So you then get into a situation of developers having to consolidate sites, and there are actually some developers in town which have actually done that. But the problem is, with the nature of the way the marketplace has changed, particularly with funding and sell, buy off the plans, all those sorts of things, which are almost non-existent now, you've got almost the perfect storm where developers are not going to go out and buy a site for, I don't know, $10, $20, $15 million and then spend a lot of money on a construction of the job, all on the basis that they hope that the project will sell for a certain time over a certain period of time. And essentially, then on top of that, you look at the very high strata fees. Mm. And so you've got a double whammy happening there with the way development's happening. So
with the costings. Well, hopefully the strata situation may be addressed in coming years with the federal government's announcement of the big insurance package that was confirmed in this week's budget. One of the car parking you mentioned there was a big one. What would you like to see council do? You know, as you said, you know, up to two car parks for a three-bedroom apartment, for example. Modes of transport are changing. We're looking at a future potentially of autonomous vehicles. We're talking about how do we improve public transport in the city, which isn't great at the moment. What would you like to see council consider to help stimulate some of these developments?
Well, I think that they need to think rationally about really how, what sort of people are going to go into these developments. If it's a hotel, for instance, then really I question the amount of car parking or how they deliver car parking on the site, for instance, because most of them fly in. They're on holiday packages. They're going out to the coral reefs on for a day. So they don't and most of their activity is actually walking around Cairns or something like that. And if they do need to go up to Port Douglas or up to the Athertons for the day or something like that, maybe that's the exercise of handling how they get a car or some sort of transport to do that. But to kind of put an impediment on the development up front to say you need these X amount of cars on the basis that someone may have a car parking. And that's the same with your stock standard residential units. Like I've just recently moved into Cairns, and the whole logic there is I don't have to drive from Trinity Beach every morning into Cairns, which is like a 25-minute drive.
Or longer, given
or,
some.
Or actually, I've actually had some mornings where it's taken over an hour to get in because of the traffic issues. Now I've worked out that I'm saving about 2 hours a day of travelling, plus I'm saving probably about $100 a week at least on my fuel bill and wear and tear on the car, blah, blah. So,
And you're within walking access to cafes and retail and restaurants. And I think this is absolute key, is how do we get this CBD stimulated? How do we get some vibe back into the CBD? And as we know, we need people living in the CBD. So I think that's a massive issue going forward. Are there, I guess, just to wrap up, do you think it's possible to increase the population living in the CBD? Are there creative ways we can house people, we can develop?
I think it's imperative that you do it. Not keeping it very short, the actual major employment sources such as the councils and law courts and that and have all moved out of the main centre. So in actual fact, we're left with a bit of a void in the centre. And the obvious answer is to look at ways and how you can put people into those centres. You've got two different options. You've got your multi-large sites and they're easy to do because at the end of the day, a lot of the cases they're a bulldozer job and you can go up to, you can build large stories. Cairns, though, is made up of a lot of little smaller buildings. And that's part of the charm of Cairns as well. But the question remains, how do you develop those sites to get some of the smaller developers and people activating those sites? And I think that's the challenge. And there's many ways to do it.
Because I'd love to see, I'm speaking here with Keith Savage from Savage Architecture. One of the things that I love when I visit different cities, when you were able to visit cities around the world, was you'd get town centres where there's retail on the ground floor and then you've got people living above that. And it might only be two stories or three stories or four stories, but we don't have that in Cairns. Is that ever possible? Are there construction methods now or being developed in the future that will allow us to, you know, really create? And because we are constrained, of course, by air traffic.
Yeah, well, I believe there are. And there's various technologies. Actually, we're actually in a quite a nice space at the moment because there is actually building techniques such as fire rating of materials where you don't need to build naturally have concrete, bricks and mortar and all those sorts of things. You can build things in a different way, which means you're not... you can actually use a lot of the existing structure that's already there and maybe add some density a couple of levels over the top in an easy fashion. So it's really just a matter of having a clever architect to think strategically how to think, and then obviously bringing a builder in to work with you as well. But it's thinking pragmatically up front. I do believe the council needs to be develop an attitude of actually being a little bit more open and to how you do the developments, and maybe that is something that needs to happen, is that we need to have a decent discussion of how we design buildings. So it's not just a set of building codes or planning codes, which is one size fits all. We've got to have a situation where it's understanding the nature of the building and properties that are in Cairns and looking at how they can all be handled in a different fashion.
And more than that, I think the council needs to step up and really lead the debate, lead the strategy, and have an end goal of boosting population, particularly in the CBD, which is what we're talking about here, and really lead the way and encourage it and foster it and incentivize it if required, because we are going to need it growing forward as the city continues to grow. Keith Savage, great debate. Would love to get you on in future months to keep this conversation rolling. Thanks so much for being on The King Review.
Thank you very much.